Chapter 2 Background. This chapter provides an overview of disability service provision in New South Wales, the role of the Department of Human Services, Ageing, Disability and Home Care, ADHC, is described, as is the role of funded organisations. Additionally, the relevant international, national and state policy and legislation are explained, including the definition of disability. Service quality and evaluation processes are described, including complaint handling mechanisms that are available for service users. Ageing, Disability and Home Care 2.1. This section provides background on ADHC, including identifying the key responsibilities of the agency, administrative regions, staff information and annual funding. An overview of governance arrangements is also provided. 2.2. ADHC is the New South Wales government agency responsible for delivering a wide and diverse range of community support and specialist care services. 1. To older people, people with disability, their families and carers. 2. Key services and supports provided to these groups include early intervention, skill development, therapy, community participation, respite and support for carers, advocacy and information, personal assistance and intensive in-home support, supported accommodation in the community and specialist facilities. 2.3. Services are also provided by the agency through the statutory authority, the Home Care Service of New South Wales. 4. A background on services provided through ADHC-funded organisations is provided from Section 2.19. 2.4. In its submission, the New South Wales Ombudsman explained that over 72,000 children and young people live with a disability in New South Wales. 5. The New South Wales Ombudsman reported that most of these children live in the community with their families, and many of these families rely on the services and support provided by government and funded agencies to help meet the needs of their child. 6.1. Submission 31, Aging, Disability and Home Care, P9. 2. Submission 31, P7. 3. Submission 31, P7. 4. Submission 31, P9. 5. Supplementary Submission 100A, New South Wales Ombudsman, P1. 6. Supplementary Submission 100A, P1. Report Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 1. Legislative Council - 2.5. ADHC described its purpose in its submission to the inquiry, stating that the agency exists at a broad level to promote inclusiveness in our society. Our clients face extra hurdles in community participation beyond what is faced by the broader population. ADHC continued, "We seek to make a difference by recognizing the value that people contribute to society, no matter their age or their disability, by providing services and supports that build skills, independence, and stability. We do this by providing support to families and carers. In many cases, they're the cornerstone on which frail older people and people with a disability are able to live fully and participate within the community." 7.2.6. The two key result areas that ADHC measure success of the organization against are summarized in the following table. 8. Image. 2.7. ADHC is one of 13 agencies that form the Department of Human Services, DHS, which was created in July 2009. In the ADHC submission, Mr. Jim Moore, Chief Executive of ADHC, advised that the DHS was created to ensure the government can deliver more integrated services, a stronger client focus, and realize more efficient delivery of services, particularly in corporate and shared service functions. 9.2.8. Specifically, the DHS was formed as a result of the amalgamation of the former departments of Community Services, Housing New South Wales, the New South Wales Aboriginal Housing Office, Ageing, Disability and Home Care, Juvenile Justice, Aboriginal Affairs New South Wales, and New South Wales Business Link. 2. Deliver better outcomes for clients. Improve services through better alignment, integration, and coordination. Increase capacity to respond to the demand for services. 7. Submission 31, PP6-7. 8. Submission 31, P7. 9. Submission 31, P6. 2. Report Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Improve organizational structures and practices to ensure the efficient operation of the new department. 10. Governance 2.9. ADHC is one of the largest human services organizations, providing all funding services to more than 260,000 people and employing more than 13,000 people, 80% of whom work in direct client services. The total budget for ADHC is $2.5 billion in 2010/11/11/2.10. A corporate governance framework is used by the agency to support executive decision making and the management of strategic goals and operational objectives. Due to the size and complexity of the agency, ADHC has devolved operations across the state. 12.2.11. ADHC advised that decision-making and implementation oversight reflects a cross-section of views and responsibilities with the agency. The ADHC submission advised that an executive oversees committees, sets directions and maintains an overview of agency performance. An operational performance committee reviews operational performance against specific indicators that relate to regional and business stream performance. Standing committees are based around key infrastructure. An Aging 2030 implementation committee oversees implementation of ADHC-led initiatives. 13.2.12. The chief executive is responsible for overseeing the governance activities of the agency to the Minister for Aging and Disability Services, and to the Director General of the DHS. 14.2.13. In its submission to the inquiry, ADHC advised that an audit committee assists the chief executive to fulfill his obligations and oversight responsibilities in regards to quality of client care, identification and management of key business, financial, information, systems and regulatory risks, compliance with relevant laws, regulations, government policies, accounting standards and codes, ensuring the adequacy of the internal control framework, maintaining the integrity of interim and annual financial reporting and disclosures. 15.10. Submission 31, P6, 11. Submission 31, P6, 12. Submission 31, P10, 13. Submission 31, P11, 14. Submission 31, P11. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 3. Legislative Council 2.14. The Audit Committee is considered to function as an independent oversight and review mechanism, as it has an independent chair and an independent member. Potential conflicts of interest are required to be declared by members of the committee, and members remove themselves from proceedings in relation to these matters. 16.2.15. Findings and recommendations that arise from the Audit Committee are reported to the Chief Executive and Corporate Management Board. Regions 2.16. ADHC and the services it provides and funds are administered through six regions: Metro North, Metro South, Hunter, Northern, Southern and Western. 17. Figure 1 illustrates the location of these regions in New South Wales. 18.2.17. Each region has four business streams that manage the services provided to clients, including accommodation and respite, community access, the Home Care Service of New South Wales and service development and planning. ADHC advised that this regional structure enables the organisation to foster closer ties with local communities and more effectively manage intake and vacancy services. 19.2.18. The ADHC Central Office is located in Sydney. It is responsible for developing statewide policies and programs, and also for providing corporate support to the rest of the agency. 20. Figure 1 Administrative Regions of Aging, Disability and Home Care. Image 15. Submission 31, P11, 16. Submission 31, P12, 17. Submission 31, P9, 18. Submission 31, Appendix 3, P55, 19. Submission 31, P10, 20. Submission 31, P10, 4. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Funded organizations. 2.19. Funded organizations play an increasingly important role in the delivery of disability services in New South Wales. There are approximately 468 EHC-funded organizations that provide specialist support services to people with disability. 21. These organizations are diverse in their size, organizational capacity, range of services delivered, staff skill levels and geographic coverage. 22. 2.20. In its submission to the inquiry, National Disability Service New South Wales, NDS, reported that since 2006 the size of the NGO sector has grown by approximately 50%. 23. 2.21. Ms. Lauren Murray, Deputy Director General of ADHC, told the committee that funded organizations provide approximately 50% of all services to people with disabilities. Ms. Murray said that this statistic varies depending on service type. For example, most case management services are provided by ADHC directly, while the non-government sector provides a large amount of therapy services. 24. 2.22. The government announced the $17 million Industry Development Fund in the 2009-10 budget. 25. The fund is to be jointly administrated by NDS and ADHC, and will support NGO sector development through access to training, service improvement measures, merger support and exploring shared service models. 26. Disability in New South Wales. 2.23. This section provides a brief overview of the legislative and policy framework for the provision of disability services in New South Wales. The relevant international, national and state policy and legislation is described. This section also provides a definition of disability as used in state legislation, and provides an overview of the prevalence and patterns of disability in New South Wales. International Framework. 2.24. The United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, UNCRPD, was ratified by Australia on the 17th of July 2008. To promote the equal and active participation of all people with disability. 27. 21. Submission 31, p. 16. 22. Submission 31, p. 61. 23. Submission 32, National Disability Services, New South Wales, p. 7. 24. Ms. Lauren Murray, Deputy Director General, Ageing, Disability and Home Care, Evidence. The 9th of August 2010, p. 13. 25. Submission 32, p. 2. 26. Submission 31, p. 92. 27. Australian Government Attorney General's Department, accessed the 7th of October 2010. www.agpoint.gov.au/www/agd/agd.nsf/page/human-rights-and-anti-discrimination_unit-head-nations-or-vent-or-non-terrigts-of-persons-with-disabilities. Report error. Use the home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 5. Legislative Council. 2.25. The 8 principles that underlie the UNCRPD include respect for inherent dignity, individual autonomy including the freedom to make one's own choices, and independence of persons, non-discrimination, full and effective participation and inclusion in society, respect for difference and acceptance of persons with disabilities as part of human diversity and humanity, equality of opportunity, accessibility, equality between men and women, respect for the evolving capacities of children with disabilities and respect for the right of children with disabilities to preserve their identities. 28. 2.26. The UNCRPD was a point of reference for many participants during the inquiry, particularly in relation to a person's right to self-determination, choice of services and devolution from large residential centres. 2.27. Ms. Des Sands, Executive Director of People with Disability Australia, noted the importance of the UNCRPD in forming the work of the government. This inquiry provides a timely and important opportunity for people with disability in New South Wales as it coincides with the 5-year review of the 10-year plan for Disability Services Stronger Together. UNCRPD had not been adopted by the United Nations when Stronger Together was developed. Now that Australia has ratified UNCRPD, this inquiry and the 5-year review should use the UNCRPD to audit and assess the services provided, and funded by ADHC, as it is highly likely the legislative framework and the institutional arrangements from practices that underpin those services will not conform, or will only partially conform to the UNCRPD 29 2.28. Similarly, Mr. Moore noted that there is a growing expressed desire for people with a disability and their families to have much greater control of how resources available to them are applied. That is an area where, when you look at it both from a program administration perspective, and also from areas, like looking at it from the Human Rights United Nations Convention, which talks about enabling people with a disability to be in control of their lives, we need to change our administration quite substantially. 28. United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, accessed the 7th of October 2010, www.un.org/disabilities/convention/convention4.html. 29. Ms. Thess Sands, Executive Director, People with Disability Australia, Evidence, the 3rd of September 2010, p. 32.6, Report Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. National Framework 2.29. The Commonwealth and state are closely linked in the funding and delivery of disability services. Important Commonwealth policies include National Disability Agreement, NDA, National Disability Strategy, Productivity Commission Inquiry into a National Disability Long-Term Care and Support Scheme, National Health and Hospitals Network Agreement. 2.30. The Commonwealth and state governments have extensive linkages in the funding and delivery of disability services in New South Wales. Both levels of government work to create an appropriate legislative environment to ensure people with disabilities are able to receive the services they require to lead a good life. 2.31. In its submission, ADHC noted that the National Disability Policy Arena, National Disability Agreement, NDA, National Disability Strategy, is driving a whole-of-government and whole-of-life approach that promotes social inclusion and universal access to mainstream services for everyone in the community. 32.32. The separation of responsibilities for service provision between different levels of government was instituted with the signing of the first Commonwealth State Disability Agreement, CSDA, in 1992. In 2009, the CSDA was replaced by a new National Disability Agreement in 2009, which also incorporated a number of other smaller bilateral funding agreements. 2.33. Through the National Disability Agreement, the Commonwealth Government will provide New South Wales $1.74 billion in funding over 5 years. This figure includes $118 million in new funding. 31. However, the bulk of funding for specialist disability programs comes from the New South Wales Government. The New South Wales Government currently contributes 81% of funding for specialist disability services, while the Commonwealth contributes 19% through the National Disability Agreement. 32.2.34. In addition to providing services directly, ADHC also funds some 460 organizations to provide services for older people and people with disability. Organizations funded by ADHC include local governments, community-based non-profit organizations and private companies. National Disability Agreement, NDA. 2.35. The NDA commenced on the 1st of January 2009, replacing earlier Commonwealth State/Territory Disability Agreement. The NDA also encompasses several bilateral agreements previously held with the federal government. ADHC noted that the NDA seeks to progress reforms which place people with a disability, their families and carers at the center of service. 33.30. Submission 31, p. 17.31. Submission 31, p. 28.32. Submission 31, p. 28.33. Submission 31, p. 27. Report Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 7. Legislative Council 2.36. The NDA identifies several priority areas to underpin policy direction and reforms. These priority areas are better measurement of need, population benchmarking for disability services, making older carers a priority, quality improvement systems based on disability standards, service planning and strategies to simplify access, early intervention and prevention, lifelong planning and increasing independence and social participation strategies, increased workforce capacity, increased access for Indigenous Australians, access to to aids and equipment, improved access to disability care. 34. 2.37. The new agreement increases funding from the Commonwealth to New South Wales. ADHCE explained the funding implications of the NDA. For New South Wales, the new agreement offers approximately $1.74 billion in total funding over 5 years, including $118 million in new funding. This brings the Australian government's share of the contribution towards funding for the New South Wales Specialist Disability Service System to approximately 19% for 2010/11, compared with the New South Wales government's contribution of 81%. 35. National Disability Strategy 2.38. In conjunction with the NDA, the National Disability Strategy seeks to drive coordination across all levels of government to improve outcomes for people with disability, their families and carers. The National Disability Strategy has been developed under the auspices of the Council of Australian Governments, COG, and it is expected that the strategy will be discussed at its next meeting. 36. 2.39. In its submission, ADHC explained the importance of the National Disability Strategy in framing disability services policy. The NDS, National Disability Strategy, will provide an overarching national policy approach to achieving and assessing progress for people with a disability in mainstream areas such as employment, income, education, health, transport, justice. 34. Department of Families, Housing, Community, Services and Indigenous Affairs, National Disability Agreement, accessed the 25th of October 2010, https://www.facsha.gov.au/sna/disability/progserve/gov.int/pages/policy-disability-agreement.asps. 35. Submission 31, p28. 36. Submission 31, p38. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. And infrastructure. The strategy is also an important mechanism to ensure that the principles underpinning the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, UNCRPD, are incorporated into policies and programs that have implications for people with a disability, their families and carers. 37. Home and Community Care, HACC 2.40. The Home and Community Care, HACC, program is a joint Commonwealth-state initiative which provides funding for services for elderly people, people with disability and their carers, to assist them to live independently. HACC forms the second major stream of funding administered by ADHC. ADHC advised the committee that in 2008 to 2009, 233,640 people in New South Wales received services funded through HACC. 38. 79% of HACC clients were aged over 65. 39. 2.41. In 2010 to 2011, total funding for HACC in New South Wales will be $629.37 million. Of this, the Commonwealth Government contributes $374.2 million, or about 60%, and the New South Wales Government $255 million, about 40%. 40. 2.42. ADHC funds over 600 service providers through the HACC program. The department also provides HACC services directly through the Home Care Service of New South Wales. The Home Care Service of New South Wales, Home Care, is a statutory authority which is funded through HACC and is "effectively integrated into the department." 41. Home Care currently employs 4,500 staff and receives about a third of HACC funds in New South Wales. Mr. Moore described the HACC program in New South Wales. There are about 600 organisations that get those sorts of funds, and the Home Care Service of New South Wales is around 30% of the totality of the HACC sector in New South Wales. It is the single biggest provider in New South Wales and Australia. 42. 2.43. Under the National Health and Hospitals Network Agreement, NHHNA, that was announced by the Council of Australian Governments, COG, in April 2010, the Commonwealth Government will assume responsibility for funding all services for those aged over 65 and over age 50 for Indigenous people. 43. This will take place from the 1st of July 2012. 2.44. On the 8th of September 2010, the Minister for Disability Services told Parliament that these reforms will clarify government roles in the provision of disability services, and that transition will be carefully managed to provide continuity of care for people with disability. The potential benefits of the Council of Australian Government's reforms for people with a disability, their families and carers are substantial. The reforms will enable the 37, Submission 31, p. 30, 38, Submission 31, p. 20, 39, Submission 31, p. 20, 40, Submission 31, p. 19, 41. Mr. Jim Moore, Chief Executive, Ageing, Disability and Home Care, Evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 5, 42. Mr. Moore, Evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 5, 43. Submission 31, p. 19. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 9. Legislative Council - Creation of a National Aged Care System and a National Disability Services System, which will clarify the roles of the Commonwealth and state in the provision of these services, and enable seamless pathways for clients through both systems. For New South Wales, the reforms will enable improved integration of services currently provided under the Home and Community Care Program with a large range of other services available for people with a disability, and this includes closer alignment with Stronger Together. Older people with a disability and their families will benefit from the commitment of the New South Wales Government and the Commonwealth to flexible service arrangements. I am pleased that there is commitment to transition to the new arrangements in a way that will ensure there is no disruption to current clients, including younger people with a disability, who are currently receiving care in residential aged care facilities. New South Wales maintains its commitment to the arrangements in a way that ensures minimal disruption to clients and existing providers. New South Wales will insist that the Commonwealth provide the appropriate provisions for these organisations during transition, and continues to fully utilise their services. This includes holding the Commonwealth to its commitment to not substantially alter existing service arrangements before the 1st of July 2015. 44. 2.45. This decision to separate responsibility for funding of services for those aged over 65 has significant implications for the future of the Home Care Service of New South Wales and other HACC-funded services which currently provide services to both people who aging and younger people with disability. For example, Mr. Moore said that, think of the Meals on Wheels organisation, which is largely a volunteer-based entity. It was a small amount of resources that come out of HACC funding. If you were to try to start breaking that up and putting it into a section for those aged under 65 and those aged over 65, you could easily disrupt that strong grassroots organisation. 45. 2.46. In its submission to the inquiry, ADHC argued that the HACC program is out of scope due to its primary focus on frail aged people, and the agreement with the Australian government to transition arrangements. 46. However, ADHC did emphasise that it is working with the Commonwealth to ensure that transition arrangements involve minimal disruption to clients and existing service providers. 47. New South Wales Framework. 2.47. New South Wales has various pieces of legislation that look to protect and promote the rights of people with disability. The list includes Disability Services ACT 1993, New South Wales Home Care Services ACT 1988, New South Wales. 44. NSWBD, Legislative Council, the 8th of September 2010, p. 25346. 45. Mr. Moore, Evidence, the 27th of September 2010, p. 7. 46. Submission 31, p. 20. 47. Submission 31, p. 20. 10. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Youth and Community Services ACT 1973, New South Wales. Anti-Discrimination ACT 1977, New South Wales. Guardianship ACT 1987, New South Wales. Community Services, complaints, reviews and monitoring. ACT 1993, New South Wales. Community Welfare ACT 1987, New South Wales 2.48. Additionally, the state has a range of policy mechanisms to support the inclusion of people with disability in the wider community and to help them reach personal outcomes. These policies include Disability Service Standards, New South Wales State Plan, Stronger Together, Better Together, Industry Development Plan, Industry Development Fund, Large Residential Centre Redevelopment Policy, Person-Centred Policy, Health Reform Policy, Disability Services ACT 1993, New South Wales 2.49. The Disability Services ACT 1993, New South Wales provides for the provision of services necessary to enable persons with disabilities to achieve their maximum potential as members of the community. 48. ADHC described the role of the Disability Services ACT 1993, New South Wales. The Act provides for the funding and provision of disability services, sets out the terms and conditions on which non-government organisations receive funding and provides for decisions made by the Minister under the Act to be reviewed by the Administrative Decisions Tribunal. 49. 2.50. Mr. Philip French, Director of the Disability Discrimination Legal Centre, provided background to the development of the Disability Services ACT 1993, New South Wales. The Act was enacted to give effect to an intergovernmental agreement, the Commonwealth State Disability Agreement 1991, which purported to rationalise responsibility for the provision and funding of disability services between the Commonwealth and state and territory governments as a condition precedent to the transfer responsibility for the provision and funding of particular service types. 48. Disability Services ACT 1993, Section 3. 49. Department of Human Services, Aging, Disability and Home Care, accessed 6 October 2010. www.dadc.nsw.gov.au/dadc/about/DADHC/report. Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 11. Legislative Council - between governments, and to the payment of Commonwealth incentive funding to the states and territories. The states and territories were required to enact legislation that was complementary to the Disability Services ACT 1986, CTH, DSACTH. The central requirements for complement were adherence to the objects of the DSACTH, and to the principles and objectives formulated pursuant to S5 of that Act, and to the formulation of disability service standards equivalent to the then operative Commonwealth standards. 50. 2.51. Mr. French described the New South Wales Act in fact went further than the minimum requirements of the Commonwealth Act by elaborating the principles and objectives of the DSACTH into a suite of principles and applications of principles that are incorporated in the DSA New South Wales in Schedule 1. Schedule 1 might be conceptualised as a Charter of Service User Rights that is made binding upon the Minister administering the Act, requiring him or her to ensure that all disability services provided or funded by the New South Wales Government conform to the requirements of Schedule 1. The DSA New South Wales has remedial and progressive element. At the time it was enacted, the Minister was required to determine within 2 months if a service conformed to the requirements of the Act. If it did not, the service was required to develop a transition plan that would bring it into full conformity with the Act. 51. 2.52. The principles in Schedule 1 of the Disability Services ACT 1993, New South Wales, as described by Mr. French in Section 2.51, are as follows. Persons with disabilities have the same basic human rights as other members of Australian society. They also have the rights needed to ensure that their specific needs are met. Their rights, which apply irrespective of the nature, origin, type, or degree of disability, include the following. Persons with disabilities are individuals who have the inherent right to respect for their human worth and dignity. B. Persons with disabilities have the right to live in and be part of the community. C. Persons with disabilities have the right to realize their individual capacities for physical, social, emotional, and intellectual development. D. Persons with disabilities have the same rights as other members of Australian society to services, which will support their attaining a reasonable quality of life. E. Persons with disabilities have the right to choose their own lifestyle and to have access to information, provided in a manner appropriate to their disability and cultural background, necessary to allow informed choice. F. Persons with disabilities have the same right as other members of Australian society to participate in the decisions which affect their lives. 50. Submission 20. Mr. Philip French, Director, Disability Discrimination Legal Centre, p. 151. Submission 20, pp. 1-2. 12. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. G. Persons with disabilities receiving services have the same right as other members of Australian society to receive those services in a manner which results in the least restriction of their rights and opportunities. H. Persons with disabilities have the right to pursue any grievance in relation to services without fear of the services being discontinued or recrimination from service providers. I. Persons with disabilities have the right to protection from neglect, abuse and exploitation. 52. Disability Service Standards 2.53. The New South Wales Disability Service Standards, New South Wales DSS, result from the Disability Service ACT 1993, New South Wales. ADHC described the standards in their submission to the inquiry. The standards are high-level aspirational statements designed to ensure that services are provided in a way that fulfills international, national and state commitments to people with disabilities and their carers, as well as developing policies that formally translate the standards into requirements imposed on staff and service providers. ADHC is committed to promoting a culture of respect for the rights of people with disabilities. Workers who provide services directly to clients need to understand the principles on which standards are based and the way they should inform their day-to-day work. 53. 2.54. There are 10 standards, which are standard service access. Each consumer seeking a service has access to a service on the basis of relative need and available resources. Individual needs. Each person with a disability receives a service which is designed to meet, in the least restrictive way, his or her individual needs and personal goals. Decision making and choice. Each person with a disability has the opportunity to participate as fully as possible in making decisions about the events and activities of his or her daily life in relation to the services her or she receives. Privacy, dignity, and confidentiality. Each consumer's right to privacy, dignity, and confidentiality in all aspects of his or her life is recognized and respected. Participation and integration. Each person with a disability is supported and encouraged to participate and be involved in the life of the community. Valued status. Each person with a disability has the opportunity to develop and maintain skills and to participate in activities that enable him or her to achieve valued roles in the community. Complaints and disputes. 52. Disability Services ACT 1993, Schedule 1. 53. Submission 31, p. 83. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 13. Legislative Council - Each consumer is free to raise and have resolved any complaints or disputes he or she may have regarding the agency or the service. Service management. Each service adopts sound management practices which maximize outcomes for consumers. Family relationships. Each person with a disability receives a service which recognizes the importance of preserving family relationships, informal social networks and is sensitive to their cultural and linguistic environments. Rights and freedom from abuse. The agency ensures the legal and human rights of people with a disability are upheld in relation to the prevention of sexual, physical and emotional abuse within the service. 54. 2.55. It is a condition of ADHC's funding agreement that service providers comply with the New South Wales DSS. 55. 2.56. ADHC is currently in the process of creating fact sheets and simple language resources to assist clients and service providers to understand the New South Wales DSS. In its submission, ADHC explained the importance of this process. ADHC is developing a series of fact sheets and simple language resources that will assist residential support workers, staff of funded service providers and other frontline staff to aim the standards. These resources will draw on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, existing and new national and New South Wales Disability Service Standards and the principles and application of principles under the Disability Services Act. They will explore the way that standards relate to good governance, privacy, respect for culture, social participation, complaint handling, freedom from abuse, and how they link up with other laws and government policies that elaborate these commitments to the community as a whole. Fact sheets will aim to break down the issues into manageable summaries that help staff to define the basic principles, where they come from, why they are important and where further resources can be found. 56.2.57. The National Disability Services Standards are currently under review with the aim of achieving consistency across all jurisdictions. Revising the standards is seen as an integral part of the national quality framework and aims to establish a consistent national approach to improving the quality of disability services and improving outcomes for people with disability. 57.54. Submission 31, Appendix 11, Disability Service Standards, P123-55. Submission 31, P83-56. Submission 31, PP83-84. 57, ADHC, National Standards for Disability Services Fact Sheet September 2010, P1, HTTP, www.datc.ns.gov.au/nr/r/CD3588A6-5D12-4B2E-A189B28C648386-5353-54/NSW_fact_sheet_September2010.pdf. 14. Report. Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Stronger Together 2.58. Stronger Together. A new direction for disability services in New South Wales 2006 to 2016 is a state government initiative that was announced in 2006, which provided a significant injection of new funding to disability services. Stronger Together provided an extra $1.3 billion to the disability services system in New South Wales over 5 years. 58.2.59. By 2009 to 2010, $961 million had been spent through Stronger Together. 59. And 2010 to 2011, Stronger Together will provide $378 million in funding. 2.60. Stronger Together aims to provide increased places in all specialist disability service categories. ADHC advised the committee that the first five-year phase of Stronger Together is now in its final year of implementation. Targets have been met in most service categories and exceeded in some. For example, Stronger Together planned to provide an additional 780 places in day programs over 5 years. By 2009, 815 had already been provided. 62.61. The Honourable Peter Primrose, Minister for Disability Services, told Parliament that an extra 20,000 service places were provided through the first phase of Stronger Together. The first five-year phase of Stronger Together delivered an extra $1.3 billion in funding for people with disabilities in New South Wales, providing an extra 20,000 service places in areas such as respite, supported accommodation, therapy, community participation and case management services. 61. Definition of disability. 2.62. In the initial report under the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the Commonwealth Attorney General's Department identified that there are a number of different definitions of disability in Australia. A common feature of these definitions is that disability is defined broadly. 62.2.63. A common and statutory definition used within New South Wales can be found in the Anti-Discrimination Act, 1977. New South Wales. Disability means a total or partial loss of a person / bodily or mental functions, or of a part of a person / body, or b. the presence in a person / body of organisms causing or capable of causing disease or illness, or 58. This figure is based on 2006 projections, and has since been adjusted upwards to $1.5 billion to allow for indexation. See Submission 31, p. 33, 59, Submission 31, p. 34, 60, Submission 31, p. 34, 61. NSWPD, Legislative Council, 1 September 2010, p. 24953, 62. Attorney General's Department, Australia's initial report under the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, May 2010, p. 6. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 15. Legislative Council - C. The malfunction, malformation, or disfigurement of a part of a person - S. body, or D. a disorder or malfunction that results in a person learning differently from a person without the disorder or malfunction, or E. a disorder, illness, or disease that affects a person - S. thought processes, perception of reality, emotions, or judgment, or that results in disturbed behavior. 63. Data and prevalence of disability. 2.64. The Australian Bureau of Statistics, ABS, stated that 18% of people in New South Wales report having disability. 64. The definition used by the ABS refers to disability as any limitation, restriction or impairment, which has lasted, or is likely to last, for at least 6 months and restricts everyday activities. 65. It should be noted that this definition appears to be broader than the one described in the Anti-Discrimination Act, 1977, New South Wales. 2.65. The ABS also identified that there was little change in the disability rate in Australia between 1998, 20.1%, and 2003, 20.0%, and also between males and females over this time. 66. However, the rate of disability in Australia increases significantly with age, from 4.3% in the 0 to 4 age group to 92.1% in the over 90 year age group. 67. 2.66. Comprehensive disability related data in New South Wales is collected through survey by the ABS every 6 years, and was most recently collected in 2003. The gap between data collection periods was identified as an issue by Mr. Moore. We do suffer from a paucity of data in this area. We only had a once-in-6-year chance to see the totality of the population of people with a disability in New South Wales through an ABS survey, and that we do our best to try to model out an understanding of just what is the level of need and what is the right way to respond to that need in that context, but our position is somewhat limited. I put that up front because I feel that there is enormous frustration about the ability of the agency to be able to point to just how well we are doing against population data, but it is a very difficult issue which has been recognized nationally. 68. 2.67. Issues regarding data are examined further in Chapter 9, Service Provision. 2.68. This section provides an overview of the types of disability services that are provided by ADHC and funded organizations. These services are considered throughout the report and particularly in chapters 4 to 8. 63. Anti-Discrimination Act, 1977, Section 4. 64. Australian Bureau of Statistics, Disability, Aging and Carers, Summary of Findings, p. 19. 65. ABS, Disability, Aging and Carers, Summary of Findings, p. 3. 66. ABS, Disability, Aging and Carers, Summary of Findings, p. 3 and p. 17. 67. ABS, Disability, Aging and Carers, Summary of Findings, p. 16. 68. Mr. Jim Moore, Evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 6. 16. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 2.69. ADHC provides and funds a range of services to older people, people with disability, their carers and families. ADHC fund approximately 900 local government and non-government organizations to provide a wide and diverse range of community support and specialist care services across New South Wales. 69. Below are descriptions of the main service types provided or funded by ADHC. 2.70. Advocacy services assist older people, people with disability, their families and carers by directly speaking on their behalf, or by providing information and advice, so that a person can get what they want and need. 2.71. The attendant care program provides portable, flexible and individualized support for people with physical disability or who need personal help to complete activities of daily living. 70. The program is funded through the National Disability Agreement. 2.72. The community justice program aims to minimize re-offending in people with intellectual disability who have exited a correctional facility and facilitate appropriate community integration through the provision of specialized accommodation and support along with pre- and post-release clinical and case management services. The program was established in 2006 in an effort to encourage the government and advocacy groups to achieve better outcomes for people with an intellectual disability who are involved in the criminal justice system. 71. 2.73. Community support teams are usually comprised of professionals who provide a range of support services to service users, carers, and families. ADHC notes that these support services include assessment, case planning and management, counseling, referral, therapy, family support, early intervention and behavior management. 72. 2.74. Day programs provide ongoing daytime activities and supports for people with a disability who have moderate to very high support needs. 73. Examples of day programs include the active aging, life choices, community participation and transition to work. 2.75. Group homes provide community-based residential support for up to 6 people with disability. The accommodation is usually staffed 24 hours a day. 74. 2.76. The Home and Community Care, HACC, program provides funding for services which support people who are frail aged, younger people with disability and their carers, who live at home and whose capacity for independent living is at risk, or who are at risk of premature or inappropriate admission into residential care. ADHC currently administers the program in 69, Submission 31, P9, 70. ADHC Attendant Care Program, accessed the 25th of October 2010. http://www.dadc.ns.gov.au/dadc/people+with+a+disability/attendant+care.htm. 71. ADHC Community Justice Program, Program Guidelines, April 2010, P4. 72. ADHC Community Support Teams, accessed the 25th of October 2010, www.dadc.nsw.gov.au/dadc/people+wit/aplasdisability/commuort+seoport+teams.htm. 73. ADHC Day Programs, accessed the 25th of October 2010, www.dadc.nsw.gov.au/dadc/people+wit/aplasdisability/commuort+programs.htm. 74. DADHC Stronger Together, P31, Report Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 17. Legislative Council, New South Wales. HACC services are delivered by over 600 service providers and rely significantly on the contribution of volunteers. 75. 2.77. The Commonwealth will assume funding responsibility for support services to all eligible people aged 65 years and over, and Aboriginal people aged 50 years and over, regardless of their location or current program. In 2012, MCOS noted that accordingly, states and territories will assume funding and program responsibilities for all eligible people with disability aged less than 65 years and under 50 years for Aboriginal people. 76. 2.78. Despite ADHC maintaining funding and administrative control over the HACC program for all eligible people with disability, aged less than 65 years, and under 50 years for Aboriginal people, the agency told the committee it considered the program to be out of the inquiry's terms of reference. It is presumed that for the purposes of most of this submission, taking note of Clause 1(d) of the terms of reference which focus on compliance with the Disability Services Act, the HACC program is out of scope due to its primary focus on frail older people, and the agreement with the Australian Australian Government to Transition Arrangements, 77.2.79. The Home Modification and Maintenance Service Industry modifies homes for older people and people with disability, so they can remain living independently in their own home for longer. The industry also provides support to other HACC services. For further information of the Home Modification and Maintenance Service, see Chapter 8, 2.80. Large residential centers are facilities that provide 24-hour residential support in a congregate setting of 20 or more people with disability. 78. For further information on large residential centers, see Chapter 7, 2.81. Licensed boarding houses are a NAR residential centre for handicapped persons licensed or declared under the Youth and Community Services ACT 1973 New South Wales. These facilities generally do not receive any direct funding from the New South Wales government, however residents receive certain services through the boarding house reform strategy. 79. For further information on licensed boarding houses, see Chapter 9, 2.82. The New South Wales Younger People in Aged Residential Care, IPRAC, program aims to provide more appropriate living options and practical support for some younger people with a 75. Submission 31, P18. 76. Submission 30, Council of Social Service of New South Wales, PP4-5. 77. Submission 31, P20. 78. DADHC, Stronger Together, P31. 79. New South Wales Ombudsman, Community Services Division Fact Sheet No. 4. New South Wales Licensed Boarding Houses, www.ombo.new-south-wales.gov.au/publiciatio/pdf/facetious/cst%20fact20sheet204, licensed percent 20 boarding percent 20 houses point pdf 18 report error. Use the home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Disability living in or at risk of entry to residential aged care. The program is jointly funded by the state and Commonwealth governments and is managed by ADHC in New South Wales. 82.83. Occupational therapy aims to enable people to participate in the activities of daily life. On its website, Occupational Therapy Australia explains that occupational therapists achieve this outcome by enabling people to do things that will enhance their ability to participate, or by modifying the environment to better support participation. 81.2.84. Other residential care centres include facilities that specialise in housing older people and people with spinal cord injuries. For example, the Paraplegic and Quadriplegic Association of New South Wales operates a centre dedicated to the high care needs of people with spinal cord injuries. 2.85. Respite is planned short-term and time-limited breaks for families and other unpaid care givers of children with a developmental delay and adults with an intellectual disability in order to support and maintain the primary caregiving relationship. There are four different types of respite activity: centre-based, general and specialist, home-based, host family, community-based. 82.2.86. The government has provisions for respite in unexpected circumstances. Clients can access emergency short-term respite if they need an immediate time-limited break because of an unforeseen crisis. 83.2.87. Supported accommodation offers ongoing high-intensity services that support people with disability in specialized accommodation settings. Examples of supported accommodation include group homes and large residential centers. 84.2.88. Transport allows people to move freely in their communities and enables older people, people with disability, their carers and families to access important support services. Community transport is funded by ADHC through the HACC program and is commonly delivered by NGOs and local councils to provide transport for group and individual excursions. For further information on community transport, see Chapter 6, 80, ADHC Fact Sheet, New South Wales Younger People in Aged Residential Care, IPRAC, Program, August 2010. Access the 25th of October 2010, www.dad.newsouthwales.gov.au/nr/redonlize/badd766C5E12-4229AE42-05F5007C0DD4/5336. docx/approved.oipirafatsuitbaugust2010.pdf 81. Occupational Therapy Australia. What is occupational therapy? Accessed the 25th of October 2010. www.orsit.com.au/inner.spaged=AT5-82-ADHC. Respite. Accessed the 25th of October 2010. www.dad.newsouthwales.gov.au/dads/people+wit/plus-asability/respite.htm 83. ADHC. Accessed the 25th of October 2010. www.dad.newsouthwales.gov.au/dads/people+wit/plus-asability/respite.htm 84. DADHC. Stronger Together, p. 31. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 19. Legislative Council - Definition of Unmet Need 2.89. The terms of reference require the committee to examine the extent of unmet need for services that are provided or funded by ADHC. Undermet need was also a term that was commonly used by inquiry participants and is defined in this section. 2.90. In evidence, Mr. Moore advised that the definition used by his organization for unmet need is the level of need for support that needs to be met by government intervention but is not being met. 85. Mr. Moore clarified that unmet need does not refer to inadequate service delivery. Rather, the term is used to describe the circumstance of someone not getting a service and wanting a service. 86. 2.91. A definition for unmet need was also provided by the Council of Social Service of New South Wales, NCOS, who referred the committee to the Productivity Commission's Report on Government Services 2010. 87. With regard to unmet need and services for older people, the report states that unmet need is defined as the extent to which demand for services to support older people requiring assistance with daily activities is not met. 88. 2.92. The Productivity Commission's report also stated that, back quote, unmet need is an indicator of government's objective of ensuring aged care services are allocated to meet clients' needs. 89. 2.93. The ability to measure unmet need was identified by ADHC as a significant challenge, which is examined further in Chapter 3 and Chapter 6. 2.94. Undermet need was also identified by some inquiry participants as a significant issue facing service users. 90. The Australian Institute of Health and Welfare define undermet need as occurring when people receive some, but not sufficient assistance. 91. 2.95. NCOS also provided a definition for undermet need, reporting that it is when a person receives some support, but it is either not sufficient or inappropriate. 92. Quality and Evaluation Processes. 2.96. The processes and programs used by ADHC to monitor the quality of services are outlined in this section. Background is also provided on how programs are evaluated by ADHC. Chapter 9 examines issues regarding quality and evaluation processes that were raised during the inquiry and makes relevant recommendations. 85. Mr. Moore, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 7. 86. Mr. Moore, evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 18. 87. Answers to additional written questions on notice, Council of Social Service of New South Wales, p. 19. 88. Productivity Commission Report on Government Services 2010 feet, p. 13.51. 89. Productivity Commission Report on Government Services 2010 feet, p. 13.50. 90. See for example Submission 32, 107. 91. Australian Institute of Health and Welfare Disability in Australia Multiple Disabilities and Need for Assistance September 2009 p. 22. 92. Answers to additional written questions on notice, Council of Social Service of New South Wales, p. 19. 20. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. ADHC provided services. 2.97. The quality management system for ADHC provided and operated accommodation and center-based respite services is the Quality Assurance and Improvement Program, CAPE 93.2.98. A number of audit tools are used through the CAPE program to identify areas of performance that require improvement. These areas of improvement are then incorporated into ADHC improvement plans, including the quality and safety framework, quality assurance reviews, and participation in the New South Wales Office for Children, the Children's Guardian Accreditation Program. 94.2.99. A quality assurance review, CAR, is also conducted for ADHC provided and operated accommodation and centre-based respite services as part of the CAPE. An external auditor will conduct a CAR of 120 units between 2008 and 2011, and provide a report with recommendations to improve the quality of QSF data collection. 95.2.100. The internal audit tool that is used to monitor the quality of services delivered in ADHC provided and operated accommodation and centre-based respite services is the Quality and Safety Framework, QSF. In its submission, ADHC stated that the QSF comprises 24 key performance indicators, KPI, and monitors the development and review of client care plan, levels of incident reporting, completion of health and safety inspections, levels of staff and service usage. 96.2.101. Data is collected through the QSF on a quarterly basis by staff who work in accommodation and respite services. This information is then collated into regional reports, then state-level reports where it is reported to the executive on a quarterly basis. 97.2.102. These reports are used to inform strategic planning and performance monitoring across regions and the state. Three strata-wide reports are produced quarterly for respite services, group homes and large residential centers. 98. ADHC funded services. 2.103. ADHC measures the performance of funded organizations to establish benchmarks and to identify and promote best practices, thus improving performance in the longer term. 99. 93. Submission 31, P86. 94. Submission 31, P86, 95, Submission 31, P89, 96, Submission 31, PP86-87, 97, Submission 31, P86, 98, Submission 31, P86, 99, Submission 31, P61, Report Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 21. Legislative Council-funded organizations are required to comply with the New South Wales Disability Service Standards as a condition of their funding agreement. 100. 2.104. Compliance with the funding agreement is monitored by ADHC through the annual compliance return, ACR. The ACR is a service provider self-assessment at the organizational level and requires the chair of the board of management and or management committee and CEO to confirm that they are aware of all ongoing responsibilities and contractual obligations for compliance. In its submission, ADHC advised that this ensures service providers comply with legislative, policy and reporting requirements. 101. 2.105. ADHC has commenced streamlining regulation of funded services through developing a risk identification and monitoring approach. This approach balances the burden of monitoring compliance with the desire to have maximum resources directed towards service provision. The approach utilizes a risk identification matrix to identify potential risk, defined as a possible disruption to the achievement of client outcomes, from available information sources. This guides the selection of an appropriate monitoring response, taking into account urgency and available resources. 102. 2.106. The risk identification approach provides for unresolved issues to be escalated and managed as formal non-compliance with the conditions of funding. ADHC advised that it will engage the sector in the implementation of the risk monitoring approach and develop a series of fact sheets and tools for ADHC regional staff in the application of the risk identification matrix. 103. 2.107. In relation to the new approach to monitoring funded services, Mr. Moore stated, "We are talking about how can we get a more effective approach, and how can we get an approach that does not just simply resource outsiders to come and pressure NGOs to behave in certain ways and check whether they are behaving in certain ways." 104. 2.108. ADHC is also moving towards an output-based acquittals process to reduce the reporting requirements on funded organizations. The model is being developed with the sector and will be an alternative to the current annual financial acquittal system. It will provide incentives to service providers to meet agreed service outputs and submit accurate and timely minimum data set MDS returns. Where this is achieved, service providers will not be required to financially acquit and will be able to retain any surplus funds for reinvestment in their service program. There will be a phased implementation for the new process with clear messages to service providers so they can position their organizations to participate in the new model. 105. 100. Submission 31, p. 83. 101. Submission 31, p. 84. 102. Submission 31, p. 84. 103. Submission 31, p. 84. 104. Mr. Jim Moore, Evidence, 9 August 2010, p. 21. 105. Submission 31, p. 85. 22. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 2.109. Mr. Moore told the committee that ADHC is developing a quality framework which will outline ways in which service providers can review, refine and continuously improve service delivery. It embeds a culture of continuous improvement as an ongoing process for service providers as they strive to improve outcomes for service users. 106. Evaluation. 2.110. Through Stronger Together, ADHC has sought to establish an evaluation program that promotes systematic and robust evaluation and that is responsive to program and service improvement needs. 107. This program provides a strong evidence for ADHC to assess three key questions. Are we achieving the results we set out to achieve? Is the way that we work the most effective and efficient way to achieve those results? Are our clients and communities better off as a result of our services? 108. 2.111. Evaluation and policy guidelines provide the framework and a quality improvement approach central to the evaluation program. 25 evaluation projects have been completed since 2007, which act to establish the effectiveness and impact of programs, and made specific recommendations for individual programs. 109. Complaint handling mechanisms. 2.112. The options available for people to make complaints about various aspects of the disability service system are outlined in this section. Avenues for complaint include ADHC, the New South Wales Ombudsman, the Official Community Visitors Scheme and the Independent Commission Against Corruption. Issues raised during the inquiry in relation to complaint handling are considered in Chapter 9. ADHC Complaint Handling Process. 2.113. A formal process to address complaints directed to ADHC is detailed in the Agency Feedback and Complaint Handling Policy, Principles, and Guidelines. 110. This policy outlines principles and provides guidelines to assist staff in responding to complaints. In its submission, ADHC stated that aligns ADHC staff as well as contractors and volunteers are required to respond to complaints according to the principles and guidelines outlined in the policy. 111. 106. Submission 31, p. 98. 107. Submission 31, p. 62. 108. Submission 31, p. 68. 109. Submission 31, p. 68. 110. Submission 31, p. 100. 111. Submission 31, p. 100. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 23. Legislative Council - 2.114. ADHC also stated that complaints and grievances form part of ADHC's overall risk management approach where key risk issues are reported, monitored, analyzed, and managed to improve business processes, systems, and services. 112. 2.115. Funded organizations are required to address complaints through conditions in the funding agreement. The funding agreement requires all non-government organizations to comply with the disability service standards, which includes a standard on complaints and dispute resolution. 113. 2.116. In the event that a complaint has not been handled appropriately by a funded organization, we ADHC would be going back to the non-government organization to understand whether or not the complaints handling process had been done well enough. 114. New South Wales Ombudsman 2.117. The New South Wales Ombudsman is responsible for assisting agencies, such as ADHC, to address problems with their performance. Problems are brought to the attention of the Ombudsman through complaints and scrutinizing agency systems, overseeing investigations or reviewing the delivery of services. 115. 2.118. Matters dealt with by the New South Wales Ombudsman include, but are not limited to, complaints about how reportable allegations are handled, complaints about the provision, failure to provide, withdrawal, variation, or administration of the community service, and protected disclosures from public sector staff and officials about maladministration. 116. 2.119. The New South Wales Ombudsman addresses complaints through making sure agencies are aware of their responsibilities to the public, recommending actions for the agency to take to resolve complaints, encouraging agencies and complainants to deal with each other directly to address issues, referring complaints back to the agency concerned, and giving them support to handle the complaint themselves, assisting agencies to set up and maintain complaint handling systems to better handle complaints and to use the feedback to improve the way they do things. 112. Submission 31, p. 100. 113. Mr. Jim Moore, Evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 19. 114. Mr. Jim Moore, Evidence, the 9th of August 2010, p. 19. 115. New South Wales Ombudsman, accessed the 7th of October 2010, www.ombo.newsouthwales.gov.au/about-us/responsibilities.html. 116. New South Wales Ombudsman, accessed the 7th of October 2010, www.ombo.newsouthwales.gov.au/about-us/deal-with-complaints.html. 24. Report error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. Investigate serious matters. 117. 2.120. Specific functions of the New South Wales Ombudsman to coordinate the official community visitor scheme are described in the following section. Official Community Visitor Scheme. 2.121. The Minister for Disability Services and the Minister for Community Services appoint official community visitors under the Community Services, Complaints, Reviews and Monitoring, ACT 1993. 118. The scheme is coordinated by the New South Wales Ombudsman. However, official community visitors are independent of the New South Wales Ombudsman and report to the Minister for Disability Services and the Minister for Community Services. 119. 2.122. Ms. Ross Armstrong, an official community visitor, advised that official community visitors visit accommodation services for children and young people and people with a disability that are operated, funded, or licensed by the DCS, Department of Community Services, or ADHC where residents are in full-time care. 120. 2.123. Key responsibilities of official community visitors include informing the ministers and the ombudsman about the quality of services, promoting service users' rights, identifying issues raised by residents, helping to address complaints. The Independent Commission Against Corruption. 2.124. The Independent Commission Against Corruption, ICAC, was established as an independent organization to protect the public interest, prevent breaches of public trust and guide the conduct of public officials in the New South Wales public sector. 121. 2.125. Principal functions of the ICAC are set out in the Independent Commission Against Corruption Act 1998, New South Wales, and include 117. New South Wales Ombudsman, accessed the 7th of October 2010, www.ombo.newsouthwales.gov.au/about-us/responsibilities.html. 118. New South Wales Ombudsman, accessed the 7th of October 2010, www.ombo.newsouthwales.gov.au/about-us/coordinatiafcomstprog.html. 119. Submission 41. Ms. Ross Armstrong, Official Community Visitor Scheme, p. 1. 120. Submission 41. p. 121. The Independent Commission Against Corruption, accessed 7 October 2010, www.icac.newsouthwales.gov.au/about-the-icac report. Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here. 25. Legislative Council - investigate and expose corrupt conduct in the New South Wales public sector, including agencies such as ADHC. Actively prevent corruption through advice and assistance. Educate the New South Wales community and public sector about corruption and its effects. 122.2.126. Clients can complain to the ICAC about allegations of serious wrongdoing by ADHC staff. Also, the ICAC may investigate or ask ADHC to investigate matters about public sector staff. 123.122. The Independent Commission Against Corruption, accessed 7 October 2010, www.icac.newsouthwales.gov.au/about-the-icac/overview. 123. ADHC complaints, accessed 26 October 2010, www.dadg.newsouthwales.gov.au/dadg/contact+dadhc/complaints.html/whatif. 26. Report. Error. Use the Home tab to apply cover date to the text that you want to appear here.